Derek, this is Sick Calm Tell You. Congratulations on your 100th episode. Hope for many more. Thanks.
Wrestling Radio. LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys.
Stars and cream.
And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life. And now I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, what can you do?
Hey, Dirk, congrats on number 100 on Wrestling Radio. I've been listening since Wrestling Guide Radio, between Holly, meant to say that earlier. Anyway, if it weren't for Wrestling Radio, I wouldn't be so immersed in the site. I wouldn't even be back into wrestling. That drew me back into it, but, well, thanks for nothing with TNA, but, you know, glad to be back into WWE. Anyway, congrats again, and here's 200 more. Thank you.
All right, everybody. This is Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I'm your host, Dirt, and this is episode number 100. I want to thank you guys for listening. Couldn't have done it without you guys listening all this time, and hopefully 100 more. But as the song says, we are the Bastards of Young. I don't know. Just kind of like this one. Decided to go with Sweenholic's suggestion to pick another replacement song. And this seemed like a good fit. Especially since we're going to start out talking about TNA. Speaking of bastards, you know, what can you do? TNA, Impact last night. Not really a whole lot of news coming out of that show. This was the first of the four shows that were taped in one big chunk. And I guess really about the only thing, Sting is your new number one contender to face RVD for the title at the Slammiversary pay-per-view. And that's really about it. That's about all the big stuff that happened on the show last night. So not a whole lot. The matches that were on were not good. You know, the best, you know, the main event was mediocre at best. I mean, not terrible. Not the type of thing that makes you want to, you know, pull your eyes out with a spoon, but still not good. A little bit of news, though, about TNA outside of the ring is that Vince Russo is actually pushing to get Jim Ross in. He wants Jim Ross to come to Total Nonstop Action as the actual general manager of the company. The stock in Bischoff and Hogan has, of course, fallen very far since those two have been unable to achieve anything since taking over in TNA. Also, Vince Russo wants out. Vince Russo knows that his days are numbered and knows that there's so much backlash against him that he's going to get the boot if he doesn't leave first. And so he thinks that if he can bring in Jim Ross and then fade himself out of the writing end of it, the creative end of it, then he will be seen in a much better light within the company for bringing in a good guy and removing himself from the creative stuff. So I thought that was kind of interesting that he would try to do that. Some other notes. Mick Foley, he did that whole getting kicked out of the company angle. He will return at some point. He hasn't actually left the company. But part of the reason why they did that whole angle was because his contract says he only works a certain number of days a year. And about the time that they started doing that, they realized that he'd used up a lot of his dates. They don't have a whole lot of dates left that they can actually use him. So they decided to do that angle to get him out of there for a while so then they can bring him back later on. Takes out a big chunk of the year and gives him some time to you know, recharge and rest, and then when he comes back, hopefully he'll be seen as a, you know, again, this huge star returning to TNA, as opposed to this guy who used to be big and, you know, basically is dwindling in the eyes of the fans. Let's see here if there's anything else going on that's really important. You know, I don't think there's a whole lot else. ODB will not be back for a long time. Funny thing is, Kurt Angle did an interview. He was talking about the difference between WWE and TNA, and he said he would rather be in front of 4,000 screaming, cheering fans than in front of 15,000 disinterested fans, which is interesting because, well, quite frankly, TNA doesn't get 4,000 fans. Doesn't get 4,000 screaming fans. They get maybe 600, I think, they can stuff into the impact zone. So he's smoking some crack there. Not sure what else is going on. All right, well, that's, I think, really all the big news. I mean, there's not really a whole lot else to talk about. We covered pretty much everything on the Tuesday show when we talked about Monday Night Raw. So the other thing we will be doing here tonight that's special is WWE Superstars. Got an email, somebody asking if we could cover Superstars on this podcast, and I said, sure, no problem. So we've actually been asked several times about bringing in WWE Superstars, and so I figured, you know, 100th episode, it's a good time to add something like that to the mix, and so here we are. And then after we finish with Superstars real quickly here, then we'll be taking a commercial break, and we'll be back with the spoilers for tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. So if you want to be spoiler-free, then listen to the commercials first, and then you can turn off the podcast. Superstars started last night with Vladimir Kozlov coming down to the ring. Out came Santino. The two of them were supposed to have a match, but Santino wanted to be his tag team partner. He said it would be like Rocky Balboa teaming up with Ivan Drago. He said that they would be the strongest martial arts team, since Vladimir Kozlov knows martial arts, and everyone knows that Santino knows the Cobra. He can do the side leg sweep. He said that Kozlov is very strong, and Santino is very fast. He says they'd be a great team, and he tries to start a USA chant, then realizes they're in Chicago, so he tries to start a North America chant, and then realizes North America is hard to chant, and tries to change the emphasis on the syllables, try to get it to work, doesn't quite take off. Regardless, eventually he says the bell will ring, the match will start, and we can either fight or we can walk out of here as the greatest tag team in the history of the WWE. So the bell rings, and Kozlov just stands there staring at Santino like he has no idea what to make of Santino. Like, what is this little thing that's out here looking at me? And so Santino gets all excited, thinks they're going to be a team, puts his hand on Kozlov, which makes Kozlov freak out. He locks Santino's arms, hits him with the headbutts to the shoulders, hits him with the spine buster, and gets the pin, 1-2-3. Funny match, obviously much more gimmick than actual wrestling, since the actual wrestling was, 20 seconds at best, but funny for what it was, fun segment because it's Santino, good stuff. And, you know, to be quite honest, that's probably about as much wrestling as you want out of a guy like Kozlov, so. They hyped Christian versus Dolph Ziggler as the main event, which actually got me pretty excited. I was really looking forward to that match, so. Go to commercial, come back. There was a video package, Randy Orton, Edge, whatever. Next match was William Regal versus Goldust, which Goldust is awesome. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Goldust is just great. And William Regal is a fantastic worker. So the two of them got in the ring, and I expected this to be, they're going to get 7 minutes, probably, maybe five. But, 5 to 7 minutes with those two guys should have been fantastic. Here's the problem. Regal went to kick Goldust in the face, and his boot caught the side of Goldust's face and his ear and busted him open. And he sold it fantastically. Like, he could tell that he was hit a little hard, a little wrong, and so he sold it and made it look great. But he was busted open. So immediately, ref pauses the match. The doctor comes over, they put on their rubber gloves, they treat the wound, they close it up, do whatever to it. The match restarts, and then at that point, they lost 90 seconds, 2 minutes, I mean, something It was a long time that they were dealing with that cut. So by the time they restarted, they didn't have a whole lot of time left. So they do a couple moves, and eventually Goldust hits the final cut and gets the pin. So, I mean, it was fun for what they did, but him getting busted open, and I don't know why they wouldn't... You know, William Regal was celebrating in the ring. So I don't know why they wouldn't show Goldust... Cut open, referee cutting the match, cut back to William Regal celebrating, cut back so you see the doctor there, cut back to William Regal yelling at the crowd, and then cut back to Goldust getting up and getting back to wrestle. Instead of it being, you know, 90 seconds of just Goldust laying there with the doctor, you know, mending him up, they could have done like a little 15-second montage there. They could edit it so you wouldn't even realize. You would just think, hey, that doctor is quick on his feet. And then they could have put that extra, you know, minute and a half back into the match. But that's not what they did, so a little disappointing there. NXT recap. They showed, you know, Daniel Bryan. They're calling him again, not Bryan Danielson, but Daniel Bryan beating up Michael Cole. Fantastic. There was a question on our board. Somebody asked if they were turning Michael Cole heel. Because he was talking about Bret Hart's ego and things like that. And part of it, they're feeling it out. Michael Cole is a giant heel on NXT, and it's gotten very good response. And internally, people really like his ability to come off as basically a big jerk. Some people feel that that's not much of a stretch for Michael Cole. So they're trying it out a little bit here and there, but also part of that... being against, you know, Bret Hart on Raw was because of the whole... They were in Canada. And Canadian fans have a tendency to cheer the Canadian workers regardless of if they're face or heel. And so there have been times in the past where they've been in Canada doing shows and the Canadian fans have cheered for, you know, someone like Jericho who comes out and he's a huge heel. And so... Jerry Lawler will make comments that, you know, Canada's kind of like Bizarro World, because the, you know, they're not cheering for who's a good guy and who's a bad guy, they're just cheering for who's Canadian. And so, they've taken heat from some Canadian fans, I can't believe they would disgrace us by blah, 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 doing that. And, you know, the truth is, hey, that's how wrestling works, is you boo the heels and you cheer the faces. And if there's bad booking and they have someone, you know, booked as a heel who you think should be a face or someone as a face who you think should be a heel, then you cheer or jeer the appropriate way to get that feeling known. But, you know, going out of your way to cheer for a guy who's supposed to be a heel just because he's from your country, you know, that is Bizarro as far as wrestling terms go. But they decided to retire that whole Bizarro crazy Canadian thing, and instead they said, you know, hey, Michael Cole, why don't you just keep playing up what you're doing on NXT and just play it up against the, you know, that Canadian contingent a little bit. So they're feeling it out. They're kind of trying it. It may go somewhere where, and it may not. Who knows? But, you know, all in all, I think it's fun stuff. Michael Cole's a heel is much more entertaining than Michael Cole's a face, because Michael Cole sucks, regardless. All right, anyway, so NXT recap, they did, next match was Cody Rhodes versus Chris Masters. It was a basic match. I mean, it really came across, I kind of hate to say this, because it came across almost like an indie match, and I say that, you know, mid-card indie match, being someone who's worked in indies, you know, worked in a lot of mid-card indie matches, you know, I will say that I mean that in the nicest way possible, because let's face it, a lot of guys who are mid-card indies are mid-card indie guys because they know what to do, they know how to put together some ring psychology and execute moves very well, but they don't really come across as dynamic or exciting. And that's Cody Rhodes and Chris Masters. Those two guys, they've got a good look. They can do some ring psychology. They can execute moves really well. They can put together a nice basic match with no excitement to it, no chemistry. You know, they did all right, but you know, nothing special about it, but Cody hit the DDT, hit the crossroads, and got the pin on Chris Masters. They made the guys, you know, pretty equal for the most part, so I don't know if that means they've lost faith in Cody Rhodes or they're going to push Chris Masters a little harder. It's hard to say, but that's what's going on there. Let's see. We got another video package of the I Quit match between Cena and Batista, Over the Limit. Plugged the entire pay-per-view. And then we got our main event, Christian versus Dolph Ziggler. Again, this was a lot of fun. This was a fun, you know, Superstars, most people think of it as a throwaway show. It's, if you ever watched, WWF Superstars back in the 80s, it was a lot of squash matches, a lot of jobber matches, a lot of mid-card matchups. You know, this fits perfectly in line with all that stuff. It was, you know, certainly better than the Cody Rhodes, Chris Masters. Both guys, Christian and Dolph Ziggler, I think have a lot of charisma. They work really well together. They had a fun match. Ziggler locked the sleeper on Christian. Christian reversed it, turned it into an inverted DDT, got a two count. But Christian, was able to hit the kill switch and got the three. So it was a fun little match. Good time. I enjoyed it. Christian got the win. You know, overall, not a great show, but a fun show and definitely worth checking out. And for that hour that it's on, you know, you do get, a significant amount of wrestling. So it's worth checking out. And for those of you who have WG in America and haven't been watching it, you should at least check it out once or twice, before you completely write it off as being, you know, like Heat or Velocity, because I think so far it's been significantly better than Heat or Velocity ever was back in their day. Well, I can't say Heat because at one point Heat was actually, an important show. But overall, I do enjoy Superstars and it's a good show to check out. So we're going to take a quick break here, some commercial messages, and then we will be back with your spoilerific look at Friday Night SmackDown.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to popculturenetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at popculturenetwork.com.
Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com. All right, and we're back with Wrestling Radio here on LockerRoomHQ.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. And again, I am your host, Dirt. This is episode 100. Woohoo! Yay! So, taking a look here at Friday Night SmackDown. This is spoilerific. I am watching the show now. So, if you don't want to have the show spoiled, time to stop listening. But thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you later. Now that they're gone, it's just you and me now. Let's get down to business. Show opened with the video recap of Big Show beating up Jack Swagger's stuff. And to be quite honest, it was about as long as the segment should have actually been. It was a little too long, as I said last week, but whatever. Looked really good on the recap. They did the opening video, then we got the Straight Edge Society down in the ring. They had three geeks sitting on chairs in the middle of the ring. And Luke Gallows talked about how great being Straight Edge is. Serena said that everybody needs to worship the perfect CM Punk, and CM Punk said that these gentlemen are about to make the ultimate sacrifice of themselves, joining the Straight Edge Society. He had them all raise their hands, and they pledged allegiance to being Straight Edge. And then they grabbed clippers and shaved all of their heads. And, you know, if you've ever seen Friday the 13th Part 4, it's actually kind of funny, because I just watched this like 2 nights ago. And there's a scene at the end where Corey Feldman has to, he shaves his head in order to look like Jason as a little boy when he drowned. And that's what these guys look like. These were the worst haircuts. These are the worst shaved heads I have ever seen. They missed so many spots, left so many big clumps of hair sitting there, looked just like Corey Feldman at the end of Friday the 13th Part 4. So I don't know if it's just serendipity that I happened to watch that a couple days ago, but there you go. So, shave the heads, and of course, as they're shaving the heads, crowd starts chanting 619, 619, 619. And sure enough, Rey Mysterio's music hits. He comes out, stands on the stage, and basically says that, you know, this is stupid, whatever, and besides CM Punk, it's going to be funny at the pay-per-view when you end up looking like this. And he popped a picture up on the screen of CM Punk, and after about 2 seconds, the hair faded off, and CM Punk looked bald. Matt Schrecker made the comment that CM Punk without hair looks like Serena with a beard. I beg to disagree. CM Punk without hair looks like Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle has the bleach blonde hair, but his beard comes out looking all dark and kind of ratty and whatever. And CM Punk's epic beard and no hair made him look like a very large Hornswoggle, which actually, I would have to say, if Hornswoggle went heel and joined the Straight Edge Society, I might have to change my opinion on that guy. All right, so anyway, ended on that moment. It was, you know, the haircuts took a long time to do. It went a little long, but, you know, crowd laughed at seeing the picture of CM Punk, but they were really hoping for some sort of fight between the guys. Didn't happen. Show went to commercial, and that was the end of the segment. So, all right, on to segment two. All right, now, next segment of the show, they showed what happened with CM Punk during the commercial. He was upset about Rey Mysterio coming out and ruining his big moment. So he said he was going to show everybody what he was going to do to Rey Mysterio at the pay-per-view. And with that, they attacked the three guys sitting in the chairs, beat the crap out of them. Kind of funny, though, because there were three guys, and there's three members of the Straight Edge Society. So as soon as Punk says that they're going to, you know, show what they're going to do to Rey Mysterio, Luke Gallows attacks the guy on the left. CM Punk attacks the guy in the middle. The guy on the right turns and looks at Serena, and she backs up, backs away. And he kind of sits there for a minute going, and then CM Punk turns and punches him in the head. So apparently they've decided they are not going to have Serena do any type of attacks on the guys, unless it's a big match, you know, against Rey Mysterio, whatever, she might appear at the pay-per-view, but otherwise they're going to keep them separated, which I thought was funny, because really I expected her to, you know, show what she can do and attack that guy and take him out, but did not happen. So anyway, next up we got Le Cool without Vicky Guerrero, just the two of them. They are announced as the co-women's champions, and they took on Kelly Kelly and Tiffany, and they had... It was a fine match. It actually started out really fun, and they actually could have ended it pretty quickly. There was a spot right at the beginning where they had a lot of heat. They did a lot of big moves. Tiffany and Kelly Kelly had wiped out both of Le Cool, and it looked like they were going to get a quick pin. And Kelly Kelly did a good job. I have to say, Layla did a good job of selling for Kelly Kelly, and it looked pretty good. Once Tiffany got in, it was a little stiffer. She's a little clunkier, but she still does all right, you know. But they had a fun little match here, and when Tiffany and Kelly Kelly had taken out both members of Le Cool on the outside, and then they pick up Layla and throw her back in the ring, the crowd expected that to be the pin, women's match, short, over, full of energy, done. Instead, the match kept going, and that kind of killed the crowd a little bit, got rid of a lot of the energy, but... Match kept going for a little bit until finally Tiffany tried to jump up on Michelle McCool's shoulders, but instead Michelle McCool grabbed her, reversed it into the Faith Breaker, got the pin. So the co-women's champions won the tag match. And, you know, again, fine for what it was. Nothing too special, but... Cuts to backstage, and the Big Show is there. He talks about how Jack Swagger's been listing all of his accomplishments. Big Show says that, you know, a lot of those are something to be proud of, whatever, but he's got a pretty good accomplishment himself. 2 weeks ago, he knocked out Jack Swagger, and they showed the clip of him punching Jack Swagger in the face and knocking him out cold. Again, burying the champion, but hopefully this is done in that effort where... maybe Jack Swagger will get over on him tonight going into the pay-per-view, and Jack Swagger will get the win. You know, hopefully these attacks making Jack Swagger look bad over the last couple weeks are just a way to just kind of show him going through the learning process once his title's on the line, then he's actually able to defend it. But I guess we'll have to see where the show goes from here. So, next segment. All right, we had JTG coming down to the ring, and he ended up taking on Kalen Croft of the Dude Busters. As the Dude Busters came down to the ring, they did one of those cut-ins where they have the backstage promo playing while the guys are walking down to the ring, and they said, what the Dude Busters are all about is busting dudes up, which is phenomenal. Love these guys. So, get in the ring. They had a match, JTG, Kalen Croft. It was... pretty basic. JTG in control for most of the ring. For most of the ring? Wow. For most of the match until the ref separated them. Croft hit a cheap shot, got over on JTG for a little bit. JTG started to get a comeback, hit the mug shot. So Trent Beretta jumped up on the apron. JTG ran over to run him off. Kalen Croft got up, charged at JTG, missed a clothesline. Got hit with the shout-out, got the pin. So JTG wins with the shout-out pin on Kalen Croft. Very basic, very simple match. You know, it was all right, but nothing special to it. Nothing too incredible about that match. The big thing of note here, though, that really kind of caught me off guard was no reaction for JTG, pretty much. You know, he gets a little bit of a cheer here, there, and... he gets the pin, and of course people applaud, whatever, but, I mean, they just could not care about JTG, which is a very bad sign for JTG. Cut backstage, we see Vicky Guerrero in back, talking on her BlackBerry or whatever. In walks Christian, Vicky says she's all excited because tonight's the return of his talk show, The Peep Show, and basically says that she wants to be the first guest on his show as it returns, and he said, well, you know, we asked people, you didn't make the top 100, and so she asked, well, who did make the top 100? He goes, well, we brought video. We've got, let's see, Bret the Hitman Hart, and so of course everybody pops. He goes, we got the Mountie, and people kind of clap. We had Jared from Subway, showed a clip of Jared standing in the crowd from that Raw show several months ago. Crowd kind of popped, and then it's like, we have this guy, I don't remember, did he say Jeremy? Jeremy who likes chicken. And it's just this guy holding a plate of chicken breasts, and he's looking super excited. And she goes, who the hell, who's Jeremy? And Christian's like, you know what, to be honest, I don't even know. But he likes chicken, and the people want to know this. So Vicky got all mad, and he said, well, I've already booked somebody for the show, and all I can say is he and I have never seen eye to eye. And then he left. So, of course, Vicky is mad she's not getting on the show, but, you know, we've never seen eye to eye. Makes you kind of wonder who it's going to be. Some big heel. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But if it's Jeremy who likes chicken, and then Christian says he's not a big fan of chicken, I think I might be a little disappointed. At the same time, very happy. But also, at the same time, a little disappointed. All right, next segment. All right, well, another segment with not a whole lot to it. I'm getting a little disappointed in the show here tonight. They had Curt Hawkins and Vance Archer come down to the ring. The two of them are currently running a storyline where they've got 30 days to make an impression on Teddy Long, or they are going to be released from the WWE. So they were out here. As they walked down to the ring, they announced their opponents, who were already in the ring, Brent Roberts and Jeremy Barner. Huh. Okay, so... basic squash match. I mean, the guys look fine. Curt Hawkins did a high-flying elbow. Looked actually pretty good. But, you know, for beating up guys who are nobodies. I mean, can't get too excited about that, but, you know, fine little squash match for what it was. But took the mic afterwards, and they said they had 22 days left, and they said they would make an impact whether we liked it or not, and that was their whole promo. That was very weak. I don't see how watching the squash match and hearing that promo could make you care in any way, shape, or form about either of these guys. Just awful. So really disappointing. So they cut backstage. They had Big Show. He was talking about some of Swagger's accomplishments again. He had to get a list from somebody off screen so that he could pronounce the Vienna Waltz Ballroom Championship. Said it was weird. But anyway, he said he had chokeslam Swagger through the announce table. They showed the clip of that. Cut back to Big Show. He was smiling. Very proud of himself for that. They then cut to Swagger, who was walking to the ring looking very upset that Big Show was cutting these promos. Then we go to commercial. So again, another segment. Not a whole lot happened. Nothing real exciting. Really kind of a slow down period here. So hopefully it picks up with the next segment. Well, kind of did, I guess, in a way. Jack Swagger came out to the ring and addressed the Big Show. He said that Big Show had disrespected him and all of his accomplishments. He had also disrespected his daddy. He had also disrespected the championship. So he said on Sunday he would disrespect the Big Show and everything he's accomplished. Whatever. They showed a video recap of Kofi winning the title and then being stripped of the title. That given to Drew McIntyre. Talked about Kofi versus Drew at the pay-per-view this weekend. But your match tonight, Jack Swagger versus Kofi Kingston, non-title match. So it's non-title. That way Jack Swagger can lose. And what do you guess happens? He lost. Again. Because he's the world champion. Why would you have him win? Why? So they basically had Swagger... Kofi just dominated him through most of the match. Just kept throwing him out of the ring, hitting him with these big kicks, hitting him with hip tosses and whatever and whatever. Very rarely did Swagger seem to take over. He would get in a move here or get in a move there, but really, it was Kofi's match. Kofi was in charge all the way down until finally, Swagger ducked the, what's that called? That goofy kick. The Trouble in Paradise. Hit the boom drop. Hit a running boot. And he went to make a cover. And Big Show came out. Big Show's music hit. And he came down. And he goes, hey, Swagger, Swagger, I got something to tell you. Swagger. So Swagger gets up and looks at him. And Big Show pauses for a second. And then turns around and walks to the back. And so as Swagger's kind of, you know, he's like, what the heck was that all about? He turns around. And Kofi hits a springboard crossbody. Gets the pin. And Kofi runs up the ramp to the Big Show, and the Big Show goes, hey, Swagger, did you know? And he points up to the screen, and they put that did you know graphic, like whenever they, on Raw, they're like, did you know WWE Raw was rated highest in midgets ages 14 to 37? So he does, you know, did you know? And then he goes, Kofi just beat you. Great. Go to commercial. Man, this next segment better be... This better be fantastic. I think it's the Peep Show. The Peep Show's up next with Christian. So, okay, this has a chance of at least bringing the spirits up here a little bit. All right, well, we got the Peep Show next. Christian's Peep Show. And I have to say, when Christian came out to start off the segment, it really kind of struck me that now they are ready to push him pretty well. He's obviously not going to be, you know, going to the top, facing off against Big Show right away. That was apparent by what they kind of did with him. But the Peep Show set, the graphics that were up, looked incredible. I was actually kind of impressed, really, about how well it looked when he came out. And, you know, the ring itself just had a couple chairs and a little, I don't know, toy box, wicker basket thing in the middle. But it just really looked impressive when he came out. And that's a good push for him, because he needs that kind of impressive look in order to help kind of get him over with a lot of people. So anyway, he came out. He said his first guest was someone who he never saw eye to eye with. And so, of course, out comes Hornswoggle. So, Hornswoggle, someone he didn't see eye to eye with, ha ha ha, whatever. So, points out they're in Canada, so he's going to teach him some Canadian words. So he tries to teach him how to say A and hockey, beer, just all these different things until finally Vicky Guerrero comes out. She says she's shutting it down. She's heard enough, and she's not going to put up with this anymore. And she, can't believe that Hornswoggle is this guest and whatever. And she's just shutting it down, and she wants Christian to leave. So, of course, he's saying, no, I'm not going to leave that easily. So she says, I've got someone who's going to help me. And, of course, Chavo is there with her. So Chavo starts to climb up to the ring, and Christian gets set to get into a fight with Chavo. Pretty sure he could take Chavo out. And while Chavo is kind of jaw-jacking him from the apron, starting to get into the ring, out flies Dolph Ziggler out of nowhere, clobbers, just absolutely clobbers Christian from behind, hits him with a few moves, just looks great. I gotta say, I am a fan of Dolph Ziggler. I've lamented his stolen push Rey Mysterio took away from him and how I wish it had come back, and this segment here was just great. Just watching Dolph get in there and get some time on TV really made me happy, and he looked good. Chavo hit a frog splash off the top, and Dolph Ziggler got his music to play and everything like that. So Vicky got tremendous heat. Christian looked like a pretty big star. Dolph Ziggler looked good. Chavo, I'm upset that Chavo's mixing it up with the midget again, but I'm hoping this is just kind of a one-time thing, and then they're gonna move the midget on to something else, because I really don't want to see the midget and Chavo in an extended feud again. I think Chavo's better than that, and I think he could really, have an opportunity to shine on SmackDown with all the other people on there, but we'll just have to kind of wait and see what they decide to do. But, in some ways, I was really kind of disappointed that it was Hornswoggle, and that was kind of a letdown, but overall, I enjoyed the segment. So overall, I'm going to give the segment a thumbs up, an enjoyable little piece of TV, even though it wasn't as exciting as I had hoped. So we then saw MVP and Rey Mysterio making their way to the ring. They are up. Tag match next. All right. This was actually pretty fun. We had Rey Mysterio and MVP versus the Straight Edge Society. They basically showed Straight Edge Society attacking Rey Mysterio last week, the hooded person jumping in turning out to be Serena, and then the real hooded masked man jumped in from behind and attacked Rey. So they were playing up that aspect. You knew that guy was going to do a run-in again tonight. But they had a fun match. They did a lot of quick tags between Rey and MVP. Punk spent most of the match actually on the apron. He would tag in from time to time, hit some big moves, kind of work the match back into their control, and then put Gallows back in. So it was a good way to showcase Gallows and kind of help to get him over. So that was kind of nice to see that they were actually kind of thinking ahead and working him out to be his own character. He cut a promo starting off and then did a lot of work in this match, so that was great. They did some really neat spots, like Rey had Gallows set up for the 619, but as he turned to run to spring off the ropes on the opposite side, CM Punk hit the blind tag on Gallows, and so referee clapped his hands, let Punk come in. So Punk immediately jumped up to the top rope, springboarded off, and hit Rey as Rey was flying back to hit the 619, which was great. That was a great little spot. So I'm sure we'll see something kind of similar along the lines at the pay-per-view. But set all of that up. Eventually, it was Rey versus Punk. Rey hit Punk for the 619. MVP Gallows had spilled to the outside, so Rey goes to run to the opposite side to spring off, and up comes the masked man. He attacks him. Rey knocks the masked man off the apron, turns around, Punk grabs him, tries to pick him up to put him in some sort of move, but Rey flips over to the other side, drops him down, rolls him up real quick, and a quick little roll-up gets the pin. So Rey Mysterio, MVP, get the pin. The two of them celebrate. They actually play it off like it's a really big deal. They point to the screen. The bald-headed picture of CM Punk comes up, and it plants your seeds for the pay-per-view. So all in all, it was a fun, quick match. And I say quick. I don't mean quick like it was short. I mean quick like there was a lot of energy. It was a lot of fun to watch. It was pretty good. You know, the show really tonight has lagged in the middle. Really seemed kind of weak. So it was nice to have this in there. Worked out really good. So show's hitting an upswing as we come into our main event segment, Big Show versus Drew McIntyre. But before we do that, we cut backstage with Josh Matthews, who's back with Drew McIntyre. Asked him if he deserves to be the Intercontinental Champion. Drew McIntyre, of course, says he deserves everything he's gotten. And so in comes Kofi Kingston, gets in his face, tells him there's going to be trouble in paradise, does his boom, 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 says he's taking the title at the pay-per-view. So, all right. Now our final segment. Woohoo! All right, folks. Main event does not deliver. Drew McIntyre versus The Big Show, non-title match for the Intercontinental Championship. I understand Big Show, big dude, number one contender for the world title. Drew McIntyre, future of the company, Intercontinental Champion. Intercontinental Champion, number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. Not on the same level. I get that. I mean, at one point in time, that used to be how it worked, you know? Guy would be the Intercontinental Champion. That would put him next in line for the world title. It's kind of like the stepping stone to get there. And that doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, just because you're the Intercontinental Champion, that doesn't put you anywhere near the world title necessarily. I understand that. I get that. I don't like it, but I understand that that's how things are these days. I also understand Drew McIntyre is a much smaller guy, much leaner guy, and Big Show is much taller, beefier, bulkier. So, therefore, when you do this match, you're going to have this little guy fighting against this big guy. And Drew McIntyre's not a power type of guy. Jack Swagger is a power type of guy. He's bulky. Not as big as Big Show, but he's definitely a big chunk of muscle. Whereas Drew McIntyre is not. He's much leaner. So you really have this situation where you have the Intercontinental Champion, this little guy, versus the big giant. And how do you get the little guy to get heat off the big guy without getting the little guy over? Because the little guy has to overcome insurmountable odds in order to put the big guy in danger, in order to make you think that he has a shot at making this any sort of competitive match. So, this whole match is built around the idea that Big Show is throwing around Drew McIntyre, beating him up. Drew McIntyre is trying to come back, but just can't overpower the Big Show because Big Show is the face, and he's getting over because he's got this title shot to win the World Heavyweight Championship. It doesn't work on so many levels. This was just a bad match to put together, and it just... Eventually, of course, what happens is Big Show hits a choke slam on Drew McIntyre. Swagger runs down to the ring, hits Big Show with a big boot, knocks him down, splashes him a couple times out of the corner, stomps on his hand a couple times, grabs a chair, swings the chair at Big Show. Big Show punches the chair out of Swagger's hands, but it damages Big Show's hand. So, the idea is you're supposed to go into the match at the pay-per-view, Jack Swagger versus Big Show. Big Show's hand is damaged, so therefore he's not going to get the full effect out of throwing his punch, and so therefore there's a possibility that Swagger might actually win it. Which, I do see that. I do foresee that happening, but this match here just didn't work. Because anytime Drew McIntyre is going to look like a threat to the Big Show, he's getting over. Because he's overcoming the odds of getting past this big guy. So the dynamic is all wrong. It just doesn't work in any way, shape, or form. So while I appreciate the fact that they put that out in there so that Jack Swagger can actually win at the pay-per-view, and I am hoping that he does, because I think that's a better storyline, a better dynamic going forward than having Big Show as world champion, this match here tonight just did not work for me. It just did not. Like, at one point, Drew McIntyre is trying to put Big Show into the Future Shock DDT, and he can't get his arms around Big Show, so Big Show muscles out before McIntyre can hit it. And I'm thinking that in order to have McIntyre look like he's any sort of threat to Big Show, he has to hit one. He has to hit the first Future Shock DDT, and Big Show kicks out, and when he goes for the second one, you think, wow, if McIntyre can hit it a second time, then maybe he can beat the Big Show. But not being able to get the first one just shows him as being inept, ineffective, you know, just worthless. And again, when he does start, if he does hit that Future Shock DDT on Big Show and he goes to get a second one, then you're thinking, maybe this guy can overcome the odds and it works against him as a heel. So, yeah, this episode of SmackDown in general is just pretty bad. If you want to see Christian doing his thing with the Peep Show, you know, that's about 3/4 of the way through the show, so you know you can wait. JTG versus Kaelin Croft, just all in all, this was not that good of a show. I've seen much better. The tag match was good, MVP Ray versus Straight Edge Society. I enjoyed that one, but all in all, I'd have to say that, if you watch SmackDown every week, then, you know, fine, here's another episode of SmackDown. But if you usually don't watch it unless there's something great, something you, really want to tune into, yeah, so don't worry about it. All right, well, we got a pay-per-view this weekend, so we will be back. I don't know if I'm going to do it Sunday night or Monday morning, but we will do taking a look at the pay-per-view, so you'll have that to look forward to for those of you who look forward to some of this stuff. And then, of course, we'll be back on Tuesday to take a look at Monday Night Raw. So, again, guys, 100 episodes, thank you so much for listening. I never thought we'd have more than, you know, 4 or 5 people coming through here, listening to the show. And it's so great, all the feedback we've gotten. I've gotten some emails, but this show has gotten pretty long. We're almost at 47 minutes, so maybe some of those emails, maybe I'll read after the pay-per-view, kind of space some of those out. But again, everybody, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you. I'm just going to go ahead, you know, usually we play a song at the end. I'm going to go ahead and play our new entrance, our new theme song, The Replacements, The Bastards of Young. We'll go ahead and let that play to close out the show tonight. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you after the pay-per-view.